Jewish audio on Chabad.org.
Mimer. We're learning the mimer of the Ata Tetzaveh. Before we begin, I want to give a little bit of an introduction about this mimer. The word mimer means discourse. This is a discourse which was recited by the Rebbe on the Shabbos of Tetzaveh, the Shabbos on which the portion of Tetzaveh was read, which came out the 10th of the first Adar, in the year Tavshin Mem Aleph, 1981, that is when this discourse was originally recited by the Rebbe. However, the Rebbe had this discourse published in 1992, shortly before Rachmana Litzlan, he suffered his stroke, on Purim Katan, which is the minor Purim, when there are two others. The first Purim is called Purim Katan, the minor Purim, in the year Tavshin Nun Beis, 1992. He had it published to be studied on Purim Katan, and on or around Purim Katan, the Rebbe actually spent hours and hours and hours distributing this mimer, distributing this discourse to every man, woman, and child who stood on line, and the line was very long, and this therefore became the last discourse distributed by the Rebbe, and therefore the last discourse printed by the Rebbe, and considered by many as the Rebbe's instructions to us shortly before he took ill and ultimately passed on. So some will describe this as the last will and testament of the Rebbe, at least ethical will. And of course we know that tzaddikim, a tzaddik lives on, and the Rebbe certainly lives on high, guiding and inspiring and intervening and interceding. And this is the whole idea of, as the Alter Rebbe says in chapter 27 of Igeres HaKodesh, that when a tzaddik passes on, he is more present in this world now than ever before, not only spiritually but also materially. This goes without saying that the Rebbe is with us even and especially today as much as before or more so than ever before, but we do want to focus on this discourse, which is the last discourse that the Rebbe distributed and had published during his lifetime, and it conveys a very important message. Now, I also want to point out that a while back, this beautiful book, published by the Hasidic Heritage Series, was published, and this entire book contains this discourse and background information, and they gave this a name called Nurturing Faith. Now, I also need to point out, before we begin, that this discourse is based upon another discourse. It's based upon the discourse of the previous Rebbe, which the previous Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef Yitzchok Schneerson of blessed memory, recited on Purim Katan in Moscow in the year 1927. And we have to understand the setting of Moscow, Purim, 1927. These are the Stalin years, deep into the revolution, 10 years or so into the revolution. Communism was at its height, at its strength. Enemy number one was religion, Jewish religion. Rabbis and the Rebbe, the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe, was the last rabbi who had the courage to stand up against the government because they squashed people like bugs. The Rebbe had many of his shluchim, many of his emissaries, exiled to Siberia, shot, killed. And immediately the Rebbe would replace them with someone else. Personally, my grandfathers, both of them, came to America on the early side. But many of my friends' grandfathers were exiled and shot and killed because they were emissaries of the Rebbe. The Rebbe had self-sacrifice. 1927, the Rebbe has information that the Secret Service, the KGB, is watching him. They have spies. And he was told, do not go to the synagogue and speak. They're going to be there. They're watching you. And the Rebbe went anyway. And he recited this famous discourse, which begins with the words from Megillah, V'kibel ha-Yehudim, and the Jewish people received, accepted, Eis asher echelu la'aseh, is that which they began to do, which means that in the Purim story, the Jewish people reiterated their consent to be committed to Torah and mitzvahs, once again following their original commitment of Mount Sinai. And there, the previous Rebbe talked about the fact that we have to educate children. Children are the future. We have to have self-sacrifice. And he blatantly stated the words which got him into serious trouble, encouraging his disciples to fearlessly continue to build Judaism in Russia in 1927. This was Purim Katan, Adar Nisan Iyar Sivan. Exactly 4 months later, he was arrested. And this was the famous Yud Beis Tammuz miracle, where they had every intention of killing him. Miraculously, he survived. Based upon this discourse from 1927, the Rebbe recited this discourse based on it, with a different beginning, but it's the same discourse, in 1981. Published and distributed as the last discourse that Rebbe published and distributed in 1992. And this became the discourse which Hasidim study every year around Gimel Tammuz, around the Hilula Yahrzeit of the Rebbe. Because this is the discourse where we can review what the Rebbe wants of us in our time. That's the introduction. So you all have the discourse in front of you. I'm talking to my live class here. And I'll begin the discourse, Beis Samach Dalet, with the help of Hashem, B'siyata D'Shmaya, with the help of Hashem, Shabbos Parshas Tetzave, this discourse was recited on the Shabbos of Tetzave, Yud Adar Rishon, the 10th of the first Adar, Hey Tovshin Mem Aleph, 1981. The discourse quotes the first verse of the portion of Tetzave. V'ata Tetzave es b'nei Yisrael, the Torah says, and you, Moshe, shall command the children of Israel, v'yikhu elecha, they shall take to you, Shemen Zayis Zoch, olive oil, pure olive oil, Kossis, crushed, Lamo'er, for the luminary to illuminate, Lahalois, to raise up, Ner Tomid, the constant flame of the menorah. So that this verse talks about that God commands Moshe, Hashem commands Moshe Rabbeinu, to take pure olive oil, crushed especially for illumination, for the menorah. That's the verse. The Rebbe goes on to say, V'yiduim ha'diyukim bozeh, the fine points that are made in interpretation of this verse are known. The Bechol Hatzivuyim Shebeteira, one of them is that as a rule, when there are commandments given in the Torah, Ne'amar, the Torah says, Tzav es b'nei Yisrael, command the children of Israel, o kayetze bazeh, or a similar phrase or expression. That's common. Kan ne'amar, but here it says, v'ato titzaveh es b'nei Yisrael, and you shall command the children of Israel. That's unusual. In fact, it should be said that this Torah portion, Tetzaveh, is the only portion since the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu, since the birth of Moses, where his name is not even mentioned in the entire portion. That's why it begins with Ve'ato Tetzaveh, and you shall command. Well, Ha'isif, furthermore, to add, Dahadiyuk, this fine point, Masha Kosov, regarding that which is written, v'ata titzaveh, and you shall command, holeirak b'haloshen, is not only the expression, elagam b'hatoichen, but also the context, diloshen v'ata titzaveh, because the expression of, and you shall command, mashma, indicates, shemeshe hu ha-mitzaveh, that Moshe is the one who commands. The Torah is telling Moshe, you command the Jewish people. Tzorich lahavin, we need to understand, Harei Moshe hu ha-sholiach limsar li-Yisrael es tzivui HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is Moshe? Moshe is the proxy, he's the messenger, the emissary, to convey to the Jewish people the commandment of God. Why does it say you shall command? This seems to suggest that Moshe has an agenda of his own here as well. That Moshe plays an important role here as well. Not just a middleman as he was with every mitzvah. Gam tzarech lahavin, we also need to understand Masher Kosuv, that which it says. Yikhu elecho, they shall take to you. What does it seem to suggest? Moshe, tell them to bring the oil to you. Sheyaviyu Hashem and LeMoshe, that they should bring the oil to Moshe, Elecho, to you, to the Chayr at first glance, Kivon Shehalos HaNeiros Hois Al Yidei Aharon, who made sure to illuminate the menorah, who made sure that the lights in the menorah came up? Aaron HaKohen, Moshe's brother, the high priest. Why would the Jewish people have to bring the oil to Moshe? I would think they should bring it to Aaron. Gam tzorich lehovin. We also need to understand Masha Kosev, that which the verse says, Kosis lamo'er, that it is crushed for the purpose of illumination. Delecheir at first glance. Habele lemeimer, I would think he would say, shemen, oil, lehoir, to illuminate. That would be more appropriate. Gam tzarech lahav, and we also need to understand, debeposuk shalachar zeh, the verse after this, ne'amar says, me erev ad boker, from evening to morning, vekan ne'amar lahalis ner tomit, suggesting only from evening to morning, and here it says, to bring up the light eternally. Okay, excuse me, I'm back. We go to section 2, paragraph 2. So the Rebbe said, Umevayer kveik tushus meiri v'chami admur. Said the Rebbe in 1981, my father-in-law, the Rebbe, explained, b'ma'amore, in his discourse, hayadua, which is well known. This is a famous discourse that the Rebbe quoted and referred to. Which discourse? Drush, the discourse, Hamaskel, which begins with the words from the Megillah, V'kibel ha-Yehudim, and the Jewish people took upon themselves. This was a discourse recited by the previous Rebbe, B'Purim Katan, on the minor Purim, meaning the Purim of the first Adar, Tov Resh Pei Zayin, the year 1927, that was that year. By the way, parenthetically, it was this discourse which ultimately led to his arrest 4 months later of the previous Rebbe, which ultimately led to the miracle of the liberation of Yud Beis Tammuz, which ultimately led to the previous Rebbe leaving Russia They allowed him to survive on the condition that they get rid of him, which ultimately led to the previous Rebbe moving out of Russia to Riga, Latvia, to Poland, and ultimately to the United States. This is this pivotal discourse. What did he say? One of the things the previous Rebbe said in this discourse is that the command suggested in the word titzaveh, hutzafsa v'chibur, that in Hebrew, the word mitzvah, or the word tzivui, the word command, does not only mean a commandment, but it also means connection. And that is an expression, tzafsa v'chibur, binding and uniting, which is used in the oral law. The mitzvah connects the Jewish people with Hashem. Let me just look here for a second. And this is brought down in many places in Chassidus, that the idea of mitzvah comes from tzafsa v'chibur, which means, v'zehu v'ata tetzaves b'nei Yisrael. So when God Almighty says to Moshe, you shall command the Jewish people, it doesn't only mean command, but it means connect. Shemesha, because Moshe Rabbeinu is the, who am a kasher, he's the one that binds, umachaber, and connects, as b'nei Yisrael, the children of Israel, in Ein Sof, with the infinite Hashem. Now, I want to just push the pause button for a minute, as I like to say in my classes, and point out the famous teaching from Zohar that ispashtusa de Moshe Rabbeinu b'chol dora v'dora, that there is the expression and spreading forth of Moshe Rabbeinu in every generation. Every generation has a spark of the soul of Moshe Rabbeinu, represented by the leader of that generation. Clearly speaking, the leader of that generation of 1927 was the previous Rebbe. There were many, many, many great tzaddikim and many great rabbis who were under the influence of the Soviet Union, but they all buckled in. They all buckled down. They all gave up. The previous Rebbe said, I don't care. You can kill me, you can shoot me. We're building Judaism. Parenthetically, that's why. After Glasnost and Perestroika and after the whole change and fall of communism, that's why Chabad was able to spring up so quickly in the former Soviet Union, because they had the infrastructure underground. Because the underground infrastructure never ceased due to this work of self-sacrifice of the previous Rebbe. So clearly, when we speak about Moshe Rabbeinu connecting the Jews to Hashem, we talk about in that generation, the previous Rebbe represented that energy of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's alluded to in this discourse. Just as he says later in the discourse, Mordechai of the Purim story was the Moshe Rabbeinu of the Purim story. The previous Rebbe was the Moshe Rabbeinu of the 1927 generation. And needless to say, the Rebbe is the Moshe Rabbeinu of our generation. That's what is so critically fundamental and important about this discourse. Because it teaches us how to connect to Hashem through Moshe Rabbeinu. Through the fact that Moshe causes this spiritual flow of energy to flow to the Jewish people, parenthesis, he binds them im Ein Sof with the infinite light and energy of Hashem. Al Yedeze Nasa Yisri Vesop of Moshe. You know what he says? This also adds to Moshe Rabbeinu, that by virtue of the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu connects the Jews to Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu himself becomes more complete, which is a fascinating point. In the brackets, the Moshe v'Yisrael, because Moshe Rabbeinu and Israel and the Jewish people, heim dugmos reish v'rego, are the imagery of a head and feet. Kamesha Kosu, the famous verse, sheish meyes elef ragli ha'om asher anechi b'kirbe. Moshe Rabbeinu says, referring to the 600,000 men of the Jewish people between the ages of 20 and 60 at the time, 600,000 feet amongst whom I find myself. Why use the expression feet? Why not use the expression heads? Because this verse expresses an interesting thing. Moshe is the head of the symbolic human body, and every Jew is the foot. The Chol Yisrael Emar Aglayim de Moshe. Every Jew are the feet of Moshe Rabbeinu. O Moshe, who Haresh Elohim, and Moshe is the head. By the way, just a point. The word Rebbe, which is the word that Hasidim use to describe their teacher, Rebbe, is an acrostic. Resh, Beis, Yud. Rosh, Bnei Yisrael. The head of the children of Israel. O Moshe, who Haresh Elohim, Moshe is their head. O Kamei, Sheba Adam, just as within a human being, Haraglayim, the feet, Melichim, lead, Es Haresh, the head. To a place where the head in and of itself cannot go. You need feet to take you. For example, in the 1927 scenario, the previous Rebbe had to send disciples here and there and everywhere. In our day, even well after Gimel Tammuz, which represents the physical passing of the Rebbe, there are shluchim going out on shlichus every week, every month, possibly every day. The numbers are growing. These are the feet of Moshe Rabbeinu. K'mei kein hu b'mei shevi Yisrael. So also, this pertains to Moshe and Israel, shal yedei Yisrael, through the Jewish people who are, parenthesis, haraglayim de Moshe, the feet of Moshe. Mi teisef ilui b'meisha. This contributes an ascent in Moshe Rabbeinu. He himself ascends higher. The zehu mashikosav. This is this verse. Sheishmias elav ragli. 600,000 feet. Ha'om is this people. Asher anechi b'kirbe, amongst whom I find myself. Shayidei ragli om, through the feet of the people. Nimshach, there flows. Hagili, the revelation. The anechi, I am. Bikir Beshom Moshe, within the essence of Moshe. Not only the Jewish people grow from this, Moshe grows from this. That's the end of the bracketed statement. Back to the text, Vizehu, and this would be the meaning of Viata Tetzaveh Bnei Yisrael, where God commands Moshe at the beginning of Tetzaveh, and you command the children of Israel, Vayikweilecha, they should take to you Shem and Zayis, pure olive oil, etc. Gamer, etc., Daide Shemesha Yitzaba, via Kasha as Bnei Yisrael, through the fact, via the fact that Moshe will command. And we learned earlier that Tetzaba means also connect the children of Israel, Im Eir Ein Sof, with the infinite light. Ayide Zeh, through this factor, Yaviu, they shall bring. Whose day? Bnei Yisrael, the Jewish people shall bring Shem and Zayis, olive oil, Limosha to Moshe, that Moshe gets the oil. V'yikhle lecha, they should take to you. Symbolic of what we just said, sheyesipu teisvus air, b'meisha, that they should add additional energy, additional light within Moshe himself. We now move on to paragraph 3 of this discourse. And I do want to point out, before we go on, the Alter Rebbe talked extensively about the greatness of studying Torah with more than a minion of Jews. Baruch Hashem, in our class, we have well more than a minion of Jews, and this is going to be studied with us all over the world. So there is tremendous value in public Torah study, which is what we're doing right now, which was the hallmark of the previous Rebbe's teachings, following his imprisonment and his liberation, where he requested public Torah study, which is what we're doing right now, Baruch Hashem. Well, the Vayir Zeh, to explain this, we're up to Gimel 3, Magdim Bahamaymer, the previous Rebbe introduces in his 1927 discourse, Shemeshe Rabbeinu, that Moshe Rabbeinu has a name. And this name also represents a section of Zohar, which took on this name. Who is Moshe Rabbeinu? What name does he have? Raya Mehemna. He's called the faithful shepherd. Moshe Rabbeinu was a shepherd of his father-in-law's sheep. God said, I like how you're shepherding. I'm going to make you the shepherd of the Jewish people. And Moshe Rabbeinu heretofore was known as Raya Mehemna, the faithful shepherd. We learn in the background that Hashem saw how Moshe Rabbeinu paid attention to one lost sheep. It wasn't a question of, is it financially worth it? Is it not financially? You have one lost sheep, Moshe Rabbeinu goes after him. This is Moshe Rabbeinu caring for every Jew. This is a Rebbe caring for every Jew. He could be in the middle of nowhere. The Rebbe sent his shluchim to Asian countries under the Soviet Union to instill strength and faith within the Jewish communities in these distant Asian countries. Ushnei pirushim bozeh, the word faithful shepherd, Raya Mehemna, has two connotations, two meanings. One is Shurei Neman Shol Yisrael, he's a faithful shepherd of Israel. That's meaning number one. Vishu Zonu Afarnes Es Yisrael Binyano Amuna. He's also the shepherd of faith, where he sustains and feeds the Jewish people their faith. Faithful shepherd could refer to Moshe Rabbeinu. It could refer to his relationship with the Jewish people. He is the shepherd of faith. Meaning, how does a Jew acquire faith? Through connecting to Moshe Rabbeinu. The ho'emunah, the faith. Sheyeshno, that exists, be Yisrael within the Jewish people. Mitzad atzmam, inherently. Sheyisrael he'maminim b'nei maminim, because every Jew is naturally a believer, the son of a believer. That is an expression that every Jew is simply maminim b'nei maminim. He brings this down from Gemara Shabbos, from the tractate of Shabbos. Efshar shetia b'pchinas makif. However, this faith could be a circular faith. It could be a hovering or encompassing faith. It could be there, but not necessarily internalized. B'zeh shemoshe Rabbeinu. And that is the meaning that Moshe, v'zeh shemoshe, that is the meaning that Moshe, roeh shepherds, umafarnes and sustains, es Yisrael, the children of Israel, be'inyin o'amunah, in the idea of their faith, hushu amunah tiyah b'pnimis. Moshe Rabbeinu takes the hovering, encompassing faith, which hovers around the Jew, and he shows the Jew how to internalize this faith, how to relate, how to feel the faith. Zel Mashakosa Bezeir, and this is also the meaning of that, which it says in Zohar, Hahi Emuna Dileilo Yitzan Viesparnes Mine Al Yodoch. This faith from on high will be fed and sustained by you, meaning Moshe Rabbeinu will feed and sustain this faith to the Jewish people. The fact that Moshe sustains, feeds, on the farness and sustains, S-O-M-U-N-I, this faith, what does it mean? Every Jew has a faith. Every Jew has faith. Kol Yisrael, maminim b'nei maminim. Every Jew is inherently a believer, the son of a believer. Hu shemamshich, it's that he draws this down, Esau, this faith, b'pnimius, in an internalized manner, that we can actually understand it and relate to it and process it. Says the Rebbe in 1981, and the previous Rebbe continued in his 1927 discourse, the fact that Moshe, who is Raya Mehemna, the faithful shepherd, Hakavona Bozeh, the intent is, and here he spells out what I said earlier, Gamli Ispashtusa, Demeshe Shebechol, there also, in the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu spreads forth in every generation. And this is an expression from Tikkun HaZohar, that there is no generation that does not possess a Moshe Rabbeinu. the Roshei Alfei Yisrael, the heads of the thousands of the Jewish people, Shebechol Deir, in every generation, Haim they are. Mechaskim, the ones who strengthen as and bolster Eso Amuna, the faith, the Yisrael of the Jewish people, Shebedeirim, in their generation, Sheho Amuna Shalohem Tia Bipnimius, that their faith should be not only a hovering general faith, but it should be internalized and processed. Said the previous Rebbe, Uchamei Mordechai. Let's look at the famous Purim story, Mordechai. Shehoya, who was, O Yispashtusa de Moshe, the spreading forth of Moshe, Shebedeira, in his generation. He was the offshoot of Moshe in his generation. Kemaimer Abeseinu, Zichreinam Levracha. As we know from the teaching of our sages of blessed memory, where they specifically state, Shemoshe, Shemordechai bedoro, Kemoshe bedoro, that Mordechai in his generation was like Moshe Rabbeinu in his generation. Mordechai was the Moshe of his generation. Shagam bizman gzeiras Haman, teaching us that even during the awesome, horrendous decree of Haman, Shelimud HaTorah, where the study of Torah, b'kiyam ha-mitzvahs, and the fulfillment of mitzvahs, oz then ha-yakoshin imesiros nefesh, was bound up with self-sacrifice. Imagine what's going on here. It's 1927, it's Moscow, there's a couple of hundred Jews packed into the Chabad Shul in Moscow. There are KGB spies there, and the previous Rebbe says, even during the time of Mordechai, when studying and teaching Torah could get you imprisoned and killed, Haman legislated against Torah teaching. Nevertheless, Mordechai was not hesitant, he was fearless. He killed Kehilas Barabim. He, Mordechai, gathered together groups in public fearlessly. Not underground, not in a basement somewhere. The previous Rebbe was in the Chabad Shul in Moscow. It was not a secret. Lechazik, to strengthen us and munosim, their faith, shall Yisrael of the Jewish people, Bahavaya in God, velamit chazik, and to stand firm, to stand strong, b'limud HaTorah, in the study of Torah, b'kiyam ha-mitzvahs, in the fulfillment of mitzvahs. So the previous Rebbe in 1927 is saying, my friends, don't be afraid. Mordechai said, it's okay. You need self-sacrifice? We Jews have self-sacrifice. No problem. After he explains at great length in that discourse, Shemesha, that Moshe Rabbeinu, the Ispashtusa delay in his spreading forth his offshoot, Shebechol Dor, in every generation, Mechazkim, strengthen, Eso Amuna, bolster, fortify, with seven essential vitamins and minerals, the faith, the Yisrael of the Jewish people, Mevoyer, he explains, Diuk, the particular point of Loshein Hakosov, of the language of the verse, Shemen oil. Kos is beaten, Lamoir, crushed for illumination, Lamoir for illumination, Veloy Lohoir, not merely for light, Shebizman Hagolus. What is the connotation? That during the times, the difficult times of exile, Shekol Echad Ve'echad Unishbar Ve'nitka, each one of us find ourselves sometimes broken and crushed. Times of exile are not easy times, said the Rebbe to the packed synagogue in Moscow in 1927. Through this, we reach the true luminary, the source, from where the light comes. Says the Rebbe, Bitzarech Lahavin, we need to understand Hashaych is the connection, the Hapirush, of this interpretation of Kos Islam Moir, of crushed for illumination, Lehamavoyer, to that which is explained, Bahamimer, in the 1927 discourse, Lifneza earlier, Shemesha, that Moshe Rabbeinu, brackets, Vispashtusa Deleyen, his offshoot, Shebechol Dor, in every generation, Zon sustains, Umaparnas, and feeds, Esu Amuna, this faith, Shetiyah, should be bipnimius, internalized, not merely hovering. Okay, my friends, with your permission, in this sitting, we'll go one more chapter. Dalid, chapter 4. V'hine habiyur bepasuk, the explanation in this verse. V'ata tetzava, you shall command. Bo comes behamaimer in the discourse, meaning the explanation in this verse that you shall command comes in the previous Rebbe's discourse, behemshech, as a flow lamavuyer to that which is first explained, betchilas hamaimer, in the beginning of the discourse. The pirush, the meaning, the kibbal ayuhudim, of the Jewish, that the Jewish people accepted, es asherecheilu la'aseh, is that which they began to do. What is the simple meaning of that verse in the Megillah, which is the beginning of the previous Rebbe's 1927 discourse? Hu shekiblu ma shehechelu bizman de matan Torah. The simple meaning is that the Jewish people reiterated their acceptance of Torah that they had originally stated thousands of years before at Mount Sinai. In the Purim story, at the depth of the difficult moments, they reiterated that acceptance. Dibematan Teda, meaning that at the time of the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai, Hoysahascholo, that was the beginning. As the verse says, Echelulah says they began to do, Obimei, and in the days of Achashverosh, of the wicked king Achashverosh, Bisman, during the time of the horrific decrees of Gzedas Haman, of the decrees of Haman, Haisa HaKabbalah, there was the reiteration of the acceptance of the Jewish people, as the verse says, V'kibbal HaYehudim, the Jewish people, willingly accepted. And the previous Rebbe is going to explain, what is the meaning of this? That at Mount Sinai, it was very nice. You're standing there with the thunder and the lightning and the glory, and all of the press, they're all there, and it's revelation at Mount Sinai. How could you not accept the Torah? But be in Haman's period, when anything to do with Torah could get you shot and then killed, and there declare your acceptance of Torah, that's not easy. So the Jewish people, he will say, reiterated their acceptance of Torah and mitzvahs in the darkest, most difficult moments as a flow and outgrowth of their original declaration of acceptance in the brightest and most wonderful moments. That's just a little glimpse ahead. Balderach Maimer Rabbeinu, similar to the teaching of our sages, Zichreinim Lebracha, blessed memory, Ala Posik, on the verse, Kimu v'kiblu ayuhudim, this parenthetical statement in the brackets. Upon the verse, the Jewish people reiterated their acceptance. Kimu, they reiterated their acceptance of Masha Kiblu Kvar, of that which they had initially accepted. The fact that the Jewish people said, we will do and understand, and they even preceded the word do to understand. They even said the word do before understand. They predicated the word do. Hoy Saraka Kabbalah, that was just the acceptance. Or be me Achashverosh, but in the difficult times of King Achashverosh, Kimu Mashikiblu, they truly established in a permanent fashion by reiterating that, yes, we accept it. By the way, the Rebbe expounds in an extensive talk in one of his Purim Fabringens based upon what it says in the Talmud. The Talmud says, the Talmud disagrees with the coloring books. The coloring books say Achashverosh was not a good king, he was not a bad king, he was just a stupid king. At least that's what my coloring book said. The Talmud says he was an evil king, and he was as evil as Haman. And he hated the Jews as much as Haman did. So he was not so stupid, and he was evil. Yet the Jewish people, with self-sacrifice, survived the difficult moments. That was Haman. In 1927, you have Stalin. That murderer. For Stalin to murder somebody, it was like nothing. for them to kill another rabbi? Nothing. Medayeg Ba'amaymer, he points out in the discourse, Shalachayra, at first glance, Hudobar Pella, this seems to be an astonishing fact. Amazing. At the time of the revelation at Mount Sinai, the Jewish people found themselves at the most lofty spiritual heights. And there was to the Jewish people a revelation of godly energy at the highest level. Again, brackets. The nice of Loza, in addition to the fact that even before the revelation at Mount Sinai, there were tremendous revelations. Hagili Shahaya Bitsias Mitzrayim. Let's not knock the divine revelation that exists at the time of Exodus of Egypt. Or Befrat Bekriyas Yamsuv, especially at the moment of the splitting of the sea. It says that a maid at the splitting of the sea saw more godliness than our forefathers saw at some of the most spiritual moments in their life. Hine Hagili, the revelation Shaya Bishas Matan Torah that was at the time when the Torah was given, Oya Gili Naila Yeser, was a disproportionately more lofty, higher revelation. So, it was an all-time high revelation, the energy of God at the moment of the giving of the Torah. It was unprecedented. And yet, to just compare, conversely, in the days of Achashverosh, the Jewish people were at their greatest low, they were at their ultimate low, ultimate level of descent. In addition to the fact that every state of exile represents a descent, the chol golus who bedugmas golus Mitzrayim, in brackets he says, because every exile mirrors the exile of Egypt. The Egypt was the first exile, and it was a teaching, a fundamental example for all following exiles. Okamei shebegolus Mitzrayim, just as in the exile of Egypt, it says, the Jewish people were unable to hear the encouraging words of Moshe. Moshe says, hey guys, I'm here to take you out of Egypt. I'm going to Pharaoh. Hang in there. It says the Jewish people couldn't even listen to Moshe Rabbeinu. They could not even catch their breath due to the horrendous hard labor. This is the same exists in every exile. There are many tests in the fulfillment of all of Torah and mitzvahs. Again, picture the scene. The previous Rebbe in 1927, sitting in the Moscow synagogue with hundreds of Hasidim, including plants from the KGB, which he knew about, talks about the fact that we are in exile. It's not easy. I know that people can't even hear me because they can't breathe, because they're so oppressed by the communist rule. Hine Oz then, Bisman Gzeda Salman, during the times of the decree of Haman, Hayaha Helen Behester, Yeser, the concealment of divine energy was even more than Egypt. The Afapike, nevertheless, Bisman Matan Torah, perhaps it could be said that in Egypt, the existence of the Jewish people were never threatened. Pharaoh never said, I'm going to destroy every Jewish man, woman, and child. Haman said that. Haman's intention was to murder the entire Jewish people who were in the entire population of Jews, we're told, were under his control. And Haman, this was the final solution. The Apal became nevertheless, Bisman Matan Torah, at the time of the revelation of Mount Sinai, at the time of the giving of the Torah. Kishahayu Yisrael B'tachlis O'ili, when the Jewish people found themselves at the ultimate heights of spirituality, Haysarak HaAschola, we're told that was only the beginning of the acceptance of the Jewish people. Hey, Chelulah says they only began to do, or Bisman Gzeidus Haman, at the time of the decree of Haman, Kishayu B'tachlis HaShiflus, when the Jewish people were at the ultimate low of spirituality, Oz Dafke Kiblu Mashay Chayla B'Matan Torah. Then they necessarily reiterated their acceptance, and they truly internalized their acceptance of Torah and mitzvahs, that which they began at the revelation of Mount Sinai. Now, I want to just pause for a moment and give us a picture of what the state of the Jewish people was during the Purim story. That which takes us into the Purim story tells us of rampant assimilation of the Jewish people. The Jewish people threw away, they cast away their observance of Torah and mitzvahs, of kosher, of Shabbos, and so on and so forth. They became, quote unquote, more Persian than the Persians. They became more Median than the Medeans. This was at the end of the 70-year exile, and the Jewish people said, hey, this is not so bad. We are recognized by Ahasuerus' court. We have equality. We were even invited to the big feast. And you know what? They served lot kosher food if we wanted it. We have Jews who are ministers in Ahasuerus' court. And so they began to cast away the observance of Torah and mitzvahs, and they assimilated. And then, boom, the Purim story, the popularity of Haman, the decree of annihilation, and suddenly the Jewish people, instead of saying to the Persians and Medeans, okay, we're all going to become like you, and the Alter Rebbe brings this down in a famous teaching in Torah Or, that was an option. Had the Jewish people joined the religious and cultural representations of the Persian Medeans at that time, they could have escaped death. Something that we did not, an option we did not have during the Holocaust. But in Purim, in the Purim story, they had that option. Yet, for an entire year, which is the chronological pattern, the Jewish people held strong, literally ready to sacrifice their life. Every single Jew, not one Jew, stepped out of that grouping, which makes the Purim miracle so special. And these are the words that Rabbi Yosef Yitzchok Schneerson, of blessed memory, is uttering to his army of soldiers, the 200 people who had the courage to show up. I read that number somewhere. I believe it's 200. The hundreds of people that had the courage to show up in the synagogue in Moscow in 1927, the darkest of the communist regime. Back to the text. I think we're up to him. Mevayer Bozei explains the Bizman Hagzeda, that at the time of the decree, Hayakiyam Atayro Mitzvah Shalem B'Mitzvah Snepesh, the fact that they continued to fulfill Torah and mitzvahs was with self-sacrifice, literally. The Neisiv Lozei Shalem B'Mitzvah Snepesh Shalei Lichbachas V'Sholem, in addition to the fact that they had the self-sacrifice not to deny the one God, which is what Haman wanted them to do. Haman said, you are to bow down to me. I am God. There is no God. What did Haman represent when he said he's God? Did he really think he's God? What he meant is that the economy that we have, the strength, the culture, this is God. As the Alter Rebbe explains in Teira Eir. Give me a minute here. Okay, Kimavuya B'Teira Eir, as he explains in Teira Eir on the Megillah, where the Alter Rebbe talks about this fact. Shebeim hayu memirim dosam. You see, this factor is not clear in the Megillah story. You have to look into the Alter Rebbe's Torah Or and in his sources to be able to truly appreciate this fact. That if they had converted and abandoned their religion, loy hayu eisim lohem klum, they would, the Haman and Achashverosh and the government would not harm them in any way. Ki hagzeira hoy sorak al Yehudim. This decree was only upon those Jews who called themselves Yehudim. There's a lengthy essay, talk, which the previous Rebbe gave, where he explained in his talk, Battling Assimilation, where he explained that the Purim story, there developed two categories of Jews. There were the Ivri Jews. What is the Ivri Jew? I'm a Jew. The political Jews, the Persian Medean Jews. Leave me alone, I'm an Ivri. I'm a Jew, but first I'm Persian Medean. Then there were the Yehudim. The Yehudim is someone who says God. Yehudi means Shemeda. He acknowledges God. First and foremost, God is what makes me tick. Said the Ibrahim, don't bother me with God. We're not interested in God. The decree was only on the Yehudi Jews, which every Jew became a Yehudi Jew during the decree. This is the amazing factor of the Purim story. The Apal became nevertheless, Le'ol Saldaita Machshev Eschutz Chas V'Shalom. Not one Jew was prepared to abandon Judaism during that fateful year of the decree. Hayolahem Mesiras Nefesh, they had self-sacrifice, Gam Alkiyam Atayru Mitzvahs, even for the fulfillment of Torah and Mitzvahs, Biad, to the extent, Shehikhilu Kihilois Berabim. In the Purim story, they gathered together publicly with groups. It says that Mordechai gathered together 22,000 Jewish children. And Haman came and he said, run! Run for your lives! Because every kid could have gotten arrested. And the children said, Itchem onu, we are with you, bein l'chayim, bein l'mobis, whether for life or death. And look at what's going on. The previous Rebbe in 1927 is sitting there with hundreds of Jews. Illegal! They are literally endangering their existence, every person who was at that farbringen. So he says, in the Haman story, the Jews gathered together, public Torah study, which is why it's so important that we here are engaging in public Torah study, with more than a minion, and going all over the world. To study Torah with self-sacrifice. And the awakening of their self-sacrifice, who brought out the self-sacrifice within them, was through Mordechai the Jew. Mordechai is always described as a Yehudi. Mordechai was the one who brought God and godliness to the Jewish people. Meisha Shebedere, the Moshe Rabbeinu of his generation. And who was sitting in Moscow in 1927 conveying this to this group? The Moshe Rabbeinu of his generation, the previous Rebbe. Zehu, this is the meaning of Ikibla Yehudim, and the Jewish people accept it. Esa Sherechelulas is that which they began to do. Debemat and Teir at the time of the giving of the Torah. Haisarakas Chola was only the beginning. Obezman Gzeidus Haman at the time of the decree of Haman. Haisakabola, there was the acceptance. Because through the fact that they literally took their life in their hands through Torah and mitzvahs, nis'alu, they ascended to a new plateau. Being in Zen, this concept, the madriga nihilis yeser, to an unprecedented higher level, than they ever reached at the time of the giving of the Torah. Because again, the time of the giving of the Torah, it was very nice to be a Jew. It was wonderful. In the Haman story, it was dangerous to make a statement of accepting Torah. Therefore, Ozdafka, necessarily then, there was the acceptance, the Kibbal Yehudim, the Jewish people accepted. Well, the chayr, at first glance, yesh leimer, we can say, shah pirish bekos islam layer, that the meaning of crushed, beaten, for illumination, Shaide causes through the fact that we are crushed, Nishbar Benitka, we're broken and we're crushed, that in the most difficult times the Jews produce the best Magiyim Lahamoyer, we reach the level of the illuminator, of the illumination. Hubir Alzeh, this would be an explanation of upon the fact, Shabizman Agzeh Dapka, that necessarily during the most bitter times of the decree, Bo the Mesiris Nefesh, they came. They attained, achieved the level of self-sacrifice, but a finale beyesin in an unprecedented manner. Ki mesiras nefesh imitzad etzam anashama shalamayla megillah. How could that be? How could it be that in tough times you reach a higher level in self-sacrifice? Because the aspect of self-sacrifice is rooted in the essence of the soul. The essence of the soul is much loftier than revelation. Mo'er, the luminary. From which the light comes. The light comes from the luminary. Self-sacrifice brings us to the luminary. Because the Jewish people were in a situation where they're beaten and crushed. And again, the previous Rebbe is talking to his audience who were beaten and crushed. Nishbar benitka, he was broken and crushed. We become broken and crushed. Nizgala etzam anashoma. That is the moment when the essence of the soul will be revealed. Mo'er, to the extent where it reaches the level of illumination. And to conclude, chapter 4, which will conclude this installment. Aval, however, me'ehemshech v'seder v'inyonim. From the flow of ideas Bahamaimer in the previous Rebbe's discourse, Shapirish, that the meaning because Islamoir in crushed and beaten for illumination, Bola Achar, Hunyan comes after the idea of Raya Mehemna, the faithful shepherd, Mashma. This connotates and indicates the Inyan Kos Islamoir, that the idea of crushed for illumination, Shayach Gam Lozeh, is also connected to the recipients. Is also connected to the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu sustains and feeds faith, Shatia Bipnimi, is that it should be internalized and consciously felt by every single Jew. We will continue.